very, very excited. I have two microphones, so I can be twice as loud. Amen. But I'm talking to you about, what are we talking about? Do you remember? We talked about this last week. I know some people are here every week. Some people don't always make it every week. But check this out. This is very, very important. And I loved what Carrie was saying this morning. The heart's caught a little bit of fire there about reaching people. And we've been talking about this for most weeks for about 2.5 or 3 months. And see, there's people that need help. Amen. All right, yeah. Let's get all make sure our mobile phones are off, everybody. Thank you so much. Yeah. So we're winning people and succeeding in life, part two. God wants people to succeed. Let me move through this because we've touched on this before, but I want you, I've got about 30 minutes, and I want to really get something across to you powerful this morning. God wants you to succeed in your life. He prepared you and built you for this. It's His will. Everyone say, success is God's will. Very important to understand that. Success doesn't just mean money. It includes money. It means relationships. It means health. That means being basically happy with yourself. It doesn't mean no problems. It means overcoming problems. It means having good friends. It means really more than anything, it means knowing what you are made for and doing it. And you are made for something specific. Success is mostly not a material matter. It's great joy and peace and fruitfulness as you walk with God and into all that He made you for. And success doesn't come automatically if you're a Christian. It's really important to understand that. You've got to work, and I talked a little bit about that last week, but you've got, and I mentioned it this morning when we were receiving tithes and offerings, about the reality of the sharpness of an axe, of learning wisdom and using the gifts God's given you so that you maximize the impact of your life. So it doesn't come automatically. You have to choose it and you have to learn it and you've got to make your own way successful. Those references I think we looked at last week, I mentioned Ecclesiastes. So let's go on to the next slide here. And actually, as we do this, let's just pray. Now, some of you will be taking notes, but I just want us to take a minute and just really actually ask the Lord to come into this meeting. Not that He's not here, but Father, I'm really thankful for these beautiful people. I pray that it would be like just You and them were speaking this morning, and that as we talk about those things, they hear Your voice, the voice of the Holy Spirit, encouraging, guiding, leading, prompting, correcting, inspiring, communicating with them so that they hear from You. I pray that our church is a place of incredible supernatural encounters every single week. We never miss a week. You're here in power. You're touching people's lives. And I ask that in the name of Jesus. And if you believe it, say amen. Amen. Wonderful. So now, this is really important to understand, and I'm speaking to us as people that live in the real world, in the Western world, in Britain, in the 21st century, because some of what I say to you today will be stuff that isn't necessarily in common practice in our world. And we have to make a decision. If we are believers and if we're going to follow Jesus, we have to make decisions about how we're going to live and how we're going to live out that faith and what we should be living like, because there is a certain considerable aspect of serving God that's countercultural, in that you're living under the presence and the inspiration of a different spirit that drives this world. Do you understand what I'm saying when I say that? And so that's why, just to drop it in, that's why this course I'm taking, which is called Satan, Demons, I Hate Satan and He Hates Me, it's a mutual thing. And demons, they're real, and most of your problems are either you don't realize how valuable you are to God, or Satan has tricked you and trying to bother you. And we want to help expose all that and cause you to live in victory over sin. One of the biggest challenges that many Christians face, and I'm doing this because we're making it available, we've been in touch with the Canaan Bookshop people. They're our friends. They're good people here in Staines. And I want to encourage you, if you're going to buy Bibles and buy books, then go and see them and support them rather than giving it to Amazon, because these guys are actually trying to serve the kingdom of God. Amen. Or whoever else. You know what I'm saying? Nothing against Amazon. I'm just saying. Let's support what God is doing here. They're a charity that are set up deliberately to help local churches as much as they can. And so we've been in touch with them, and we want to make what we're teaching available to as many churches as we possibly can. And I met up with one of the pastors of one of the local churches here, and he's just a tremendous guy. He loves God. He loves me. He wants to meet up regularly and stuff. And so there's good things happening, folks. Believe me, there are good things happening. And I'm really excited about it. You wait until you start to see what God... I want you to pray and hear from God so that when God starts to move in greater ways and more powerful ways, we don't all sit there and say, oh, wow. What we sit there is, I knew this was coming. I was ready. Are you with me? So that's exciting. But I said all that. It was a slight distraction. The Bible college issue of dealing with Satan effectively is going to help you. Serving God can't occur without serving people. The idea that we're serving God, but we're not actively, deliberately serving people, that it doesn't work like that. God's entire focus is people. You know, I have a dog. I quite like the dog. I could live without the dog. That's me personally. But don't tell my wife that, okay, because sure. But the dog's a good dog. But there is a vast difference between dogs and people. People really, really matter to God. Dogs are okay, but they're not in the same class, not by a long way. I hope you're clear on that. I'm not putting dogs down. I'm lifting people up. And so if you're going to treat your dog kindly, for goodness sake, treat your spouse kindly. I heard it say, I didn't say it, a British person said it. I heard somebody say, you know, if we here treated people as well as we treat our dogs, I think they said actually, if we treated our children as well as we treat our dogs, it'd be a different country. But that's okay. Dogs are fine. The fact that we have a very strong ethic of caring for animals in our country is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a biblical thing. Just don't forget that people are more important. People are the apple of God's eye. So success and serving people go hand in hand. One of the greatest of all keys in relating to people successfully is to learn to win people. Everyone say, win people. And here's the verse. You want to know it. If you've not written it down, you want to burn it into your thinking. You want to put it on your screensaver. You want to, you know, put it at the bottom of your every tweet. You know how you have that thing on your iPhone that and if you have an iPhone and it says sent from my iPhone? You know how that automatic, because they're sneaky, they put it in there. You can take it off if you want to. You could also put something on there that says at the bottom, a wise person wins souls. Every time you send something. I've got a friend who does that. Every email he sends, at the bottom it says, it's a proverb of some kind. And it says, the person who says it should not be done, the person who says it cannot be done should not interfere with those who are doing it. Have you got one? It is too much fun Sunday. Tell us. What have you got? That's good. I like it. I've taken a vow of poverty. To annoy me, send money. I said to the guys, we ought to have a little bit of fun. It's good to have a bit of fun. I heard a story about a young boy who got driven to school sometimes by his mother and sometimes by his father. He's just a little kid. And he would drive him to school. And one day the boy said, Mum, how come all the idiots are only on the road when Dad's driving to school? Did you get that? Yeah? Okay. All right, let's go. Come on. Learning to win people. Everyone say win people. Win. So that phrase, a wise person wins souls. If you're wise, wisdom will give you success. Praying will help you have success. But sometimes you, when you pray, it doesn't mean everything will work out the way you want. Being generous will help you give success, but having faith will give you success. But the overarching thing that gives you success is wisdom. The overarching thing that'll give you success is wisdom. And a wise person does what? Wins souls. Soul is a person. A wise person wins people. A wise person, stay with me, a wise person wins people. Doesn't mean win people to Christ. It doesn't say that. You couldn't do that in the Old Testament. It means wins people to me. That's what it means. You win people. If you're in the business of sales, if that's your job, then you'll understand that phrase in a different way, because really what you're trying to do is win people, get them to like you so that they'll buy what you're selling. If you're in sales, you'll know this, that people generally don't buy a product, they buy a person. So you don't always buy what's cheaper. Sometimes you will. It's one of the reasons you buy things. But the main reason, the single most important reason you buy is that you like the person who's selling it to you. Well, if they're smart, what they're doing is winning you. And you can, you know, you can see it as a negative thing in a way, which it isn't necessarily, because you're questioning the motive of the person that's winning you. If the person that's winning you is only interested in your money and they don't care about you, and sometimes salespeople can be like that, well, then there's an integrity question. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't learn to win people. Are you with me? So let's have a look at Jesus. Now, Jesus, is Jesus speaking? He talks along the same line. Watch this. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. Well, I'm a person that God sent, and so are you. And so Jesus is saying, whoever receives whomever I send receives Jesus. So if you receive me, if Jesus sent me, then you're receiving Jesus. You say that sounds like you think you're Jesus. No, no, that's not what I'm saying. Though, you know, we're related. But I'm not him and he's not me. Amen. But he sent me. And if you receive me, that's why when Paul writes letters to the church, he spends quite a bit of time, especially in 2 Corinthians, really pushing to get the guys in Corinth, the Christians, to believe that God sent him. And I make that reference and that comment every now and then because it's vitally important for you to become who God wants you to be. See, God is growing his church up. God is teaching us some things that maybe 10 or 20 years ago were not in the forefront of what God was saying, or we weren't even aware of it. You don't attend church just because there are nice people around, even though that's important. You should be in church because there's someone leading the church who God sent. That's probably the single biggest factor. We try and do everything well. I mean, these cake pops look fantastic. And if you young people eat more than one before everyone else has eaten one, I will visit you in the night. Amen. Just the cameras are rolling. Yeah. No, no, no. But they look fantastic. So we do that, you see. We have fun with music and we dress up and we do good clips and we reach out to people. We do all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, you can do that and just be a fun club. But a church is not just a fun club. A church is a group of people that God sent. And you've got to have someone that God sent leading the church or you're in trouble. Amen. So, and Jesus says this, if you can receive a person, then you're receiving the God who sent the person. Now, that's really true of you. If we believe what Jesus said, which is that he came to seek and to save which was lost. By the way, do you have that extra slide in there? I put one that extra. Remember the extra one? Okay, so that should... All right, that'll come up soon then, won't it? Okay, we'll come to that. I'm just living by the slide. Amen. A modern world. And no. Where's the one that talks about Romans 10? How I put it in as an extra one. It's on my stick. It was on the stick that I gave you. Oh, okay. You got the stick though. Okay. All right. Did you look at the stick though? Okay. Good. Okay. So there's these other ones. Never mind. We don't need that. We'll be okay. So Jesus is saying this. What Jesus said was, I tell you what, let's stay there and go quickly. I've got enough time. Go quickly in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. Let's check this out. Somebody go to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9, last couple of verses. I forget what number they are. And someone else go to Romans chapter 10. Some of these young people, they've got their Bibles with them. Matthew chapter 9. And it's the last couple of verses there. It starts in about, say, let's say 36. Matthew 9:36. Have you got that, Ian Stevens? Have you got Matthew 9:36? Yeah. All right, I'm going to come over so we can record it. Listen very carefully. Here.
Read that out for me.
36, just to the end, right to the end. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. This is the BBC Home Service. Because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field."
There you go. Did you get that? The harvest is plentiful. There are loads of, what he's saying is, Australian vernacular, what he's saying is there are loads of people that are ready to get saved right now. That's what he's saying. So when people start, oh, it's a very hard area. Oh, let's just hold on to Jesus. Forget all that stuff. That's not what Jesus said. He said there are loads of people ready to get saved right now. So what are we going to do about it? We're going to pray. Pray for the Lord of the harvest to send laborers. So that's half of what we do. Is pray for the Lord of the harvest. We ask God, send laborers. Everyone say, God, send laborers. Send workers into our church, into this city, into our, into this vineyard, into this harvest field. That's how you pray. Maybe you've never prayed that way before. Start praying that way for us because God will do it. His ears are open, you know. When you pray, you're not talking to somebody deaf. He's actually there. And when you say that, he says, do you really mean that? You say, yeah, actually, I really do. I want you to send laborers. He says, are you sure about that? And right about there, about 90% of people quit. But let's be in the 10%, shall we? He says, you sure? I said, God, I really want laborers. And you might say, oh, I don't really care that much. Well, start to care. Learn to care. Make yourself care. Because people matter a lot to God. You say, God, and then if you persist and you just say, God, here I am again. I was here yesterday morning at 5 a.m. walking through the golf course talking to you. Here I am again, 7 p.m., whatever, walking down the street, you know, whatever, 9 p.m. before I go to bed in my office, in my bathroom, wherever. God, I want you to send laborers. Let me tell you that he will hear that and he'll do that. Ian Stevens is here this morning and he's an answer to prayer. He drives 65 miles to come to church, but he wants to be here because he's a laborer in this house. Isn't that awesome? I love that. And don't think, now what Jesus said is that there's loads, there's so many people ready to get saved. The shortage is harvesters, workers. Ask God to send workers. Amen? Just thought I'd throw that in. Now let's go to Romans 10, wasn't it? And about, I don't know, it's 13, 14, 15, somewhere through there. Oh, don't you love the Bible? Anybody like the Bible here? I'm a fanatic myself. I'm very keen. Here we go. 13, is it as the scriptures? 13, 14, and 15. What about Lucille? She's starting life. She's a pretty good reader. See if you can do a Radio 4 voice for me. You ready?
I can't beat that one. Is it 13? Yeah. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things.
Fantastic. Did you get that? Isn't that something? Isn't that amazing? Or is it just me that's excited about the Bible here this morning? That's amazing. God wants to save everybody. And actually, he can't do any more than he's done. He already went to the cross. He already died. He already did everything there is to do. And he's got compassion on these people. And he looks at them and he says, they're just like all these sheep without a shepherd. They're like Val's vision. They're all these people rushing headlong down the street and they don't know where they're going. And he says, so pray for laborers. And then he says, and God will save everybody, but they won't get saved unless they heard. What do they got to hear? The good news. What is the good news? That God loves them the way they are now. Now, I'm going to upset a few religious spirits, but stay with me. Don't push the whole sin thing too much with people. Some people won't like it when I say that. Some ministers insist that you've got to push very hard how sinful people are. I don't believe that. It is a fact that we're not right with God. But it's like correcting children or raising up children. If you keep telling them all the things they do wrong all the time, yes, you're right. Maybe they are doing things wrong. But it ain't going to help them get any better. Are you with me? And sometimes we have the wrong mindset about how God... Does God, when you live your life, is that how you relate to God? That every day you get up and talk to him and the first thing he'll do is give you a whole long list of all the things you did wrong. Good morning, Jane. You're a sinner this morning. And shall I recount the sins? Good morning, Anderson. You've been very sinful this week. You didn't study properly for your exams. You were rude to mum. You said you read the Bible and you didn't read the Bible. You should have practiced your drums, but you didn't. Shall I go on, says the Lord? Wouldn't it be inspiring to follow a Jesus like that? That's a religious spirit. Religious spirits, I'm going to talk about it in this course we do in Bible about Satan and demons. There are different kinds of demons. They have different hallmarks, different ways of operating. A religious spirit looks a lot like Christianity. That's the whole idea. But the spirit of it, the core of it, is twisted and it's not true Christianity at all. So religious spirits make you get bound up, whereas true Christianity makes you free. Religious spirits make you try really hard to do the right thing, whereas true Christianity knows that all the right stuff's been done for you and it's a joy to walk in it. Religious, when you're in a religious service or a service where a religious demon, I won't allow religious demons in my church. If I let them, they'd try. Are you with me? They're around. They're out there. They're visiting some churches this morning, but just not ours. And if you're in a service where a religious spirit has dominance, then people tend to come out more oppressed than they were when they walked in. But when you're in a place, because the Bible says this, where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty, freedom. Like Braveheart said, remember, I know the Brits, you know, struggle with it. Freedom! Are you with me? Yeah. That's what you have. You might as well enjoy it. So those religious spirits, they try and hold you back. And you know, there are different, like I said, there's different demons that try and hinder God's people. Knowing how to deal with those demons is very, very important. Jesus spent a lot of his time, maybe a third of his ministry, casting out demons. You think they've all gone? They all left England because we're such good people? No? Half the problems, maybe more. Half the problems that our mental homes and so on are with are all demon-related. It doesn't mean, by the way, that you can just walk in and start casting them all out and empty the place out, because if people want to have a demon, they can have a demon. You can't force somebody to do anything. But anyway, we'll talk about all that kind of stuff in Bible college. Amen? It's going to be fun. But here, Jesus is saying, whoever receives me, you see, you've got to be receivable. So your people, number one thing, people are beautiful. They're just beautiful. God, when he was sending Jesus to die, remember he came to earth, he laid aside, the Bible says, his mighty power and glory, and he came with us in his heart, with us in his mind, thinking about us, helping us, reaching us. That's why he came. And you think that God's mind was, look, these dirty, stinking sinners. Like, people, what am I going to do with them? Flipping, all right, Jesus, you better go. Just get it over and done with. Because they're so full of sin. Can you imagine that? See, but some people think that. And religion will try and keep you holding that, which is why I'm stepping on it a little bit. And whereas actually what's in God's heart is he's filled with compassion. He looks at them and he says, dear people, beautiful people. And then so lost, what binds them? Well, sin binds them. But it's not my job to go there and keep telling you what my job is to say. There's a way of freedom. Are you with me? So that's the good news. That's the message. And the thing we were just reading there in Romans 10 is, how can people get right with God and be saved unless someone tells them? Good news. And how can anyone tell them, what it says is, how can they, unless they hear the message? Message is very important. And then how can they hear the message unless someone tells it, and who's going to tell it unless they get sent? So I'm sending you. Now, if you know your Bible, you know that Jesus already sent you, but he sent me to remind you that you're sent. You've been sent. Everyone say, I've been sent. You've been sent into the world. You say, oh, no, I just work at the post office. Well, you work wherever you like. You've been sent. Amen? Ah, but I run a business. Ah, but I teach a school. Ah, I'm just a student. No, you're sent. That's also what you do, but you're also sent. I'm sent by God. Sent by God into this world. You say, oh, I'm not very good at this. Hey, join the club. There's a whole lot of things you want to hear them? There's a whole lot of things I'm not very good at. But I'm not going to let that be an excuse to not be sent. I'm sent. Every day I'm sent. Get up in the morning, might walk down the street, save money by making my own coffee, but every now and then I'll go down to Carluccio's and buy a coffee. And when I go into Carluccio's to buy a coffee, I'm thinking I'm sent here. Everything I'm thinking about is how can I possibly touch them in some way? Now, I can't always preach the gospel to them. I can't always just sit there and say, listen, I know you're busy serving coffees and you've got customers, but you need to know that God loves you. Sometimes you can get away with that. Sometimes you can. But I'm going to smile. I'm going to encourage. I'm going to lift. I'm going to connect. I'm going to build a bridge, not a wall. I'm going to find a way because sooner or later, I'm going to get an opportunity. Trying to remember people's names. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself here. So those things are really important that we know we're sent. Now, when we know we're sent, I want to spend the rest of the time talking about this winning people. Watch this, and we've got to move quickly. Jesus says, go back, sorry, darling. Go back one more time. Look, Jesus says, if you receive me, you receive him who sent me. That means if we want people to receive Jesus, they're going to have to receive you. There's no other way it works. Are you with me? Don't pray, dear God, save people. Because he can't do any more about it. He's done everything he can do. He sent Jesus. There's nothing more he can do. It's kind, nice-hearted prayer, but it doesn't do anything. Pray for God to send laborers. And pray for God to give you boldness so that you know that you're sent and you speak boldly. And you say, yeah, no, I'm not very bold. That's okay. God could make you bold just when you need to be. You with me? And so what you've got to realize is that unless you bring Jesus to people, Jesus doesn't go to people. He's not walking around the invisible man, you know, like an X-Man with a, you know, invisible guy that just touches people. Hi, meet me. He meets people through you. And if they don't like you, then they're not going to receive Jesus. If they don't receive you, they can't receive the Jesus you're bringing, which is exactly what Proverbs was saying, win people. Get me? All right, let's go to the next one. This is just astounding, this. I'm so glad we got to this. I'm going to get a copy of this CD myself. I'm so encouraged. Look, listen to this. It's quite long, so I hope you can read it there, but I'll read it through with you. This is 1 Corinthians, Paul speaking. Though I am free and I belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone. And in red, read it out with me. to win as many as possible. He's talking the same language. To the Jews, I became like a Jew. Well, he's born a Jew. And he had a Jewish practice, but then he got born again. And so a good proportion of the Jewish practices he had, he let go of because they weren't necessary in a born-again life. But because I'm now dealing with Jewish people, I'm going to, watch, become like one of them to win. I become like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I become like one under the law. But I'm not under the law. So as to win those under the law. To those not having law, I become like one not. Well, they're the complete opposite. He's saying, I'm relating to this person here, and he's under the law. He's stuck in a whole series. His whole lifestyle is about, I've got to do this and I've got to do that. I'm going to try and win him, which means I'm going to get into his world as much as I can. I'm going to become like that. I'm going to understand what makes him think that way. Why would you think that way? And then I'm going to understand it and relate to it so that I can connect with him. Because if I can connect with him, then I've got a chance to pull him out of that into liberty in Christ. Whereas if I stand here saying, I'm liberty in Christ, you idiot are under the law, you idiot are under sin, I might be, what I say might be true, but it isn't helping the person. Are you with me? Everyone say, good preaching. Yeah, good. And I just need the encouragement. Okay, and then so the under the law, then you've got another guy who's got no law at all, the complete opposite. So you notice Paul doesn't walk around saying, this is the way to live, you people don't live that way. This, when he instructs the church, he does. That's what I'm doing to you. When I teach the church, because you're believers in Jesus, you've got a certain way of life that you ought to live. And my responsibility is to teach you that. If I'm relating to people that don't know Jesus, I'm not going to teach them how to live a Christian life. Why would I do that? If I'm dealing with Christians, I'll say, listen to me, careful, Christians. Don't get involved sexually with somebody that you're not married to. Unapologetically. Because you're Christian and that is going to damage your life. And God knows what he's talking about. If I'm dealing with the world where that's the standard for the world, and I have people in all aspects of my world, stepsons and others, that and my own children and others that I work with and deal with, that aren't following Jesus, what's the point of me saying to them, don't go around sleeping with somebody that you're not married to? What am I? I'm putting pressure on them to live a Christian lifestyle, but they're not a Christian person. The point is, get them to Jesus. Then, hopefully, the lights switch on. They read the Bible and think, I better be doing what the Bible says. And then we're in a different zone. But while I'm dealing with the world that are not saved, my message is, I want you to meet Jesus. My message isn't, stop, you know, sleeping around, stop smoking, stop doing drugs, stop doing all the naughty wrong things that God's so very mad at and he's going to judge you about. I've just lost them completely. Are you with me? Very important we understand that, how you relate to God's people and how you relate to unsaved people, which is why if you see me relating to unsaved people, I'm going to say things and you're going to think, boy, he's a compromiser. I'm totally not a compromiser. I just have to be different with who I'm dealing with. Are you with me? So, and that's what Paul's saying. If he's under the law, I'm going to relate to that. I'm not outside of the law, Paul says. I'm following Christ. He says it here. I'm free, not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law. In other words, the law of Jesus was to love others as you would love to be loved yourself, and the law of love, so to speak. But so I'm going to do that, and there's the red again. You can see it. So as to win those who don't have the law. To the weak, I become weak. To what? To win the weak. Is Paul weak, do you think? He's not a weak person, but if I'm dealing with someone who's weak, their personality is weak. They're not strong in their convictions. They waver. They're indecisive. Am I going to barge in there and say, you silly weak person? Or I mayn't say it, but maybe I'm thinking it when I relate to them. Think to myself, geez, they're pretty weak. And my general demeanor is somewhat disdainful. Or do I think they're weak? I need to win them to Christ. I need to become like them. Understand what it is to be weak. Try and understand. Why would you be like that? Well, maybe their parents really were overbearing and they never had a chance. Nobody ever helped them become who they're supposed to become. But however you do it, you've got to get into their world. You've got to become like them, understand them. Are you with me? It's good preaching. And notice the green. Everyone that's green is special. I have become, read it out with me. I have become all things to all people so that by all means I might save some. Can't save all of them. Not going to get disappointed if I try and reach people and they're not going to follow me like I'm following Jesus. I can't get mad at them. I can't get I can't save them, but I can do my best to win them. Are you with me? Let's go to the next slide because I want to wrap this up. Practical principles of winning people. These are principles. We got one more slide after this and we're done. Principles. Serve. These are overarching. Then I've got some practical things that are fun. Serve people. Principles. How to win people. Basically approach life serving people. Start with your family. It's pretty tough. Usually your spouse is the hardest person to do this with. But push yourself the best you can. Serve people. Think about their desires, not your desires. It's called maturing. When you're dealing with kids, especially teenage kids, most of their world is all about what they want. And if you're a good parent, then you'll help them get what they want and you'll educate them that this is just a stage of life, not maturity. And so let's move towards maturity and start thinking about what others want. Are you with me? Number two, genuinely love people. Think of their value. I can't say anything stronger than that. People are wonderful. People are beautiful. People are the apple of God's eye. People are fantastic. I see, you know, I try and see positive things in every person I can. And I see, you know, and I'm interested in sport and I'm interested in music and drama and films. And I know there are some horrible, sinful, stupid, evil things that people do. I know that. But mostly, if they're loved the way they are, most of them will respond and become something wonderful. People, and that's how God viewed us, man. I mean, who are we to start pointing the finger at somebody else and say, you're naughty, you're bad, you did this. When we weren't believers, we were naughty and bad. And you say, well, yeah, but I didn't take cocaine. No, maybe you didn't. But maybe you had hatred in your heart and maybe God thinks that's worse than taking cocaine. Are you with me? It's so easy to judge other people. And the church world can be the worst at that. Because we have these Christian standards, which is good, that we feel like we should live up to, but we get discouraged when we see other people who aren't Christians getting away with stuff that we won't let ourselves get away with. And if we're not careful, we can let our heart get bitter or annoyed or critical, which is completely counterproductive. Lost people act lost. What do you expect? If you will live like a found person and a saved person and win them instead of judging them, you've got the best possible chance of leading them to God. And even if they don't come, you've got a heavenly Father that's got somebody on the earth who's trying to cooperate with him to reach these people that he loves so much. Amen. Be receivable. Be receivable. Think about how you are as a person and be attractive in every area of your life that you can. Be attractive. Now, if you're married, for goodness sake, be attractive. Stay attractive. Just because you won, I won this gorgeous blonde from Wales, you know. Stand up there, Caroline. Look at this woman. I tell her every day. Eh? She is gorgeous. But I'm a fool if I think, well, I've got her now, so now it doesn't matter. And it's normal. When you get married, you tend to start to get casual, you know. You start to say some things once you're married that maybe you wouldn't have said or you wouldn't have got married. Are you with me? And listen, if you've got somebody good, and you better believe you've got somebody good, then keep winning them. Because there are other people out there that don't have the Christian standards that you have. And if they have half a chance, they might try and flirt and move in on your territory. And if you're dumb and don't look after yourself, and the lady over the road is looking after herself real nice now, and you don't care anymore how you look, you're making it hard for your marriage. No point in making it harder. Be more gorgeous after you're married than you were before you were married. Amen? And remember that gorgeousness is more about attitude than it is about anything physical. Amen. Good preaching, Pastor. Yeah. Be receivable and ask yourself, what is it about people I like that makes me like them? It's just a practical thing. There are certain people I like. What do I like about them? Can you embrace some of their characteristics? It's called change. It's really not that hard. Amen. Come on, we're going to close here. We've got to close. We've got a couple of minutes. Practicals. If you want these, if you want a copy of the message, get a copy. If you want this emailed to you, talk to Lou here, and I'll organise it. Because these are, we got to go through these real quick. We got 12 keys to winning people. Watch, here's the overarching thing. People do not care how much you know until they know how much you care. They've got to be convinced. There's no point saying I do care. They don't realise it. You've got to convince them. You say they're very hard to convince. I know. I'm married to one of them. Or should I say, don't be like that. We're married to people and they're all human. That's what I'm saying. And sometimes we can't, we think, can't you see? We judge ourselves on our heart intention and people judge us on our action. That's where a lot of the problems come from. We never meant cruelty in our heart, but our style of delivery mightn't have been that good and the other person read it like we were being mean. It's not what we meant, but we actually, if we heard it objectively, you might find that you actually sounded mean, but you just didn't mean it. Anyway, let's go. You're entitled to your opinion, number one, but that doesn't mean you have to give it. Don't be too fussed about always, when you're winning people, always having to say what your opinion is. It's more important that their opinion is heard. Two, you have two ears and one mouth. Listen more than talk. If you will let people talk, you'll find that generally they think that it was a great conversation, even though you didn't say much. Because people like to talk. And that means that you like to talk as well. Well, then you need the fellowship of our connect groups and stuff like that, and why we do coffee afterwards with cake stick bomb pop things and cake pops. And we do all that, facilitate all that so you can talk with people. And in the body of Christ, we understand that. But when you're out there relating to unsafe people, it's work. And you've got to try and win them. Amen? Listen more than talk. Number three, deliberately notice positive things about the other person and say them appropriately. So if you see, a young lady with, a low-cut top, and then there are inappropriate things that you might say. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that. But if someone's got a new pair of glasses, you say, hey, they look really good on you. Now, if they don't look good on them, then don't say that. Say something else. Find something good. And if you can't think of anything good about that person, then I want to suggest you want to approach how you look at people a little differently. Because every person has got some beautiful things about them. You just got to find it. And say it. You look nice today. It's good to see you. How are you? Just practice saying nice things. I'm telling you how to win people. Number four, be genuine and be yourself, but not excessively. Don't be smarmy. Oh, you look so great. You know, what you're really saying is you don't look that great, you know. Just don't cross that line. Be yourself, but don't be excessive. Don't be so much yourself that people can't relate to you. Who's this? Where they come from? But be happy to be you. Number five, remember people's names and use people's names. People love nothing more. I know that we should love nothing more than the name of Jesus, but I'm telling you that most people love nothing more than their own name. And that's okay. You could be very righteous and say, I know you've got a lovely name, but really you should love the name of Jesus more. And maybe you're right biblically, but you're not winning anybody. Remember their name. Try and spell their name right, say their name right. It's important. Fresh breath, smell nice, dress nice, cool but not too cool. I've told you the story of my piano teacher, Mrs. Goddard, when I was a young boy. And all I remember about Mrs. Goddard was this incredible breath that was so bad. And I never knew what it was. And then when I was older, I looked back and I remember her had this cup of coffee on the side of the piano always. And she could be a really nice person, but she didn't win me just for that one little thing. And I tell my wife, you know, if my breath is bad, for goodness sake, tell me. Don't give me this like over polite thing, like you've been stinking all day, but I didn't say anything. Our family's like that. You know, if they stink, we just tell them, boys, you stink. Have you not washed your clothes? You smell bad. And they're like, well, what do you want? You know, who's going to tell you? You want to go to school and have everyone turn around and go, or shall I tell you here so that you go to school and everyone thinks, wow, you look good. Next. Let's move on. Number 7, focus on points of agreement, not points of disagreement. You can find things that you disagree with. If you disagree on something, just let it go and find something you agree about. It's a skill, and it's not that hard, because the devil who runs this world in terms of the attitude of this world, he'll always try and get people arguing. That's why the newspaper is full of strong opinions and this was right and this is wrong and putting people down and all that kind of stuff, because there's a devil that runs the spirit of this world that's trying to put people down. But you have to live against that. Come on, let's move quickly. Don't expect, number 8, don't expect them to do like you do. You do like God and love them. Don't go into this and say, well, I'm going to be really nice to them. I'm going to notice good things about them. How about they notice some good things about me? Nobody's noticing anything good things about me. Well, it's not actually about you. We're doing this for them. But hopefully, under the great care of our two, you know, connect groups on Tuesday, they'll help you, they'll inspire you, they'll build you up. That's the whole idea of the body of Christ. But don't look for Christian being built up outside of the body of Christ. Otherwise, you're going to looking for something that you can only really get from God and God's people. Amen? Number 10. Number 9, let the messages of your life be positive, not an anti-message. Some people have a message of life, but it's anti, and I've got Starbucks in the corner because I saw this car the other day, and I hope the person's not visiting churches because I don't they could be visiting, I don't know. But I saw this car that had like some kind of Christian thing about church or something on it. So evidently they were a believer. And then they also have in the back of this car a sticker that says, friends don't let their friends drink at Starbucks or drink Starbucks coffee or something like that, which I presume is something to do with maybe Starbucks, they think they're unethical, or maybe the people that they deal with don't pay them and they're not certified or what's the word we use for now? Fair trade. I don't know. But you know what I mean? We're full of that. You know, a dog is for life, not just for Christmas. You're saying that one? Yeah. And all those things are fine. There's nothing wrong with that. You're entitled to your opinion, but don't let the message of your life be an anti-thing. The message of your life is, people don't care. The message of that is people too often buy dogs and don't care about them. That's the message that's giving. Well, that may be true, and you're entitled to believe that, but if you push that out as this is kind of what I'm about, you'll attract like-spirited, critical-spirited people. Now, are you with me? Now, some of you got that dog sticker on your eye. I'm not talking about that. But it's like that. You know, somebody doesn't like Starbucks for some reason. Somebody doesn't like some government party. So they're going to put some anti-Labor, anti-Liberal, anti-Conservative, anti-Cameron. Just don't get involved in that. You don't have to like David Cameron. He's changed some laws. You don't have to agree with it. But don't let the message of your life be against something.